sometimes we read things in God's Word that it's hard to wrap our minds around. So would you pray for me as I pray for us? Father, I thank you for this time that we get into your Word. I thank you that you have provided a book to help us through this life. I thank you that you have a plan that includes salvation, that we are washed in the blood, and that we will be until we die for those who choose to profess you as Savior and Lord. God, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us this morning, that we would know you better. So we thank you for this time. We give you the praise in advance for what you're going to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many of you have read God's Word and didn't understand what it was saying? I've heard tell that Billy Graham didn't know everything about God's Word. I can't believe that. I mean, he is a devout, or was, I would consider him a know-it-all. And yet he says he didn't know it all. So there are things in the Bible that sometimes it's just difficult to understand. And you know, in John 6, John tells of the people who were following Jesus, these new converts, these new believers in Jesus, that they couldn't take what Jesus was saying. It was too hard to grasp. What Jesus said in John 6, and maybe you want to turn there because as I reviewed my notes, you might want to be able to see the words also. So we're going to be in John chapter 6, and I'll probably say this again because it's in the notes, but I would encourage you to read John 6 today just because it's good for the soul. And if you don't have a Bible, I want to make sure that before you leave this property, you have a Bible in your hand because it's valuable information. So if everyone is, I love that cue. If everyone is at John 6, please look up at me. That's pretty tricky. That's neat. Lesson learned. All right. Let me just read verses 53 through 58 right now. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so if you're following along in a different one, it's not going to make sense because the New Living Translation just speaks well to what Jesus was saying there. So verses 53 through 58, with all the earnestness I possess, that would be the truly, truly in your Bible, I tell you this, unless you eat the flesh of the Messiah and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who does eat my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Everyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood is in me, and I in him. I live by the power of the living Father who sent me. And in the same way, those who partake of me shall live because of me. I'm the true bread from heaven. And anyone who eats this bread shall live forever and not die, as your fathers did, though they ate the bread from heaven. So if you're following along, drop down to verse 60. We read, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? And then go further down to verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Jesus' explicit, detailed description about eating his flesh and drinking his blood is a hard statement to take in at first. Would you agree? But it's not natural. It's almost sick. But looking at key points of this whole chapter will help us understand what Jesus was saying. That's why I'm encouraging you to take time this afternoon, not now, because I want to bring points forward. But read the 71 verses so that you can see the whole message and what's transpiring. In verses 1 through 13, we see that Jesus fed more than 5,000 people. That's a familiar part of the story, right? Yeah. And the next day, that same group of people were still, they continued to follow him. But why were they following him? as you read for yourself, you'll see, to get a free meal. That's why they were coming along. Jesus pointed out the error of their way. The problem was they were only seeking the physical bread. Well, there was so much more important that they could sink their teeth into. It was spiritual. Jesus says in verse 27, you shouldn't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Then he says, no, spend your energy seeking the eternal life that I, the Messiah, can give you. For God the Father has sent me for this very purpose. That's why Jesus came to this planet. At this point, Jesus attempts to turn their way of thinking away from the physical food and drink that allows us to continue to live on the planet. You know we need to eat, right? It's important. You don't eat, you don't live. And it's the same with spiritual food. And this is what Jesus is trying to draw their attention to. The contrast between the physical food and the spiritual food sets the stage for Jesus' really hard to swallow statement. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Jesus explains that it's not physical food that the people need. It's the spiritual. Spiritual bread is where we get life. At verses 35, 48, and 51, Jesus identifies himself as that spiritual bread. We need to be paying attention when the Bible repeats. I know years ago I used to say that if the Bible repeats, pay attention. Twice he stresses the importance of faith as the spiritual action we must take to receive salvation. Salvation comes through faith. He says in verse 40, it is my Father's will that everyone who sees his Son and believes on him should have eternal life, that I should raise him at the last day. In verse 47, Jesus says, how earnestly I tell you, if you're following along, it's probably truly, truly, or verily, verily, how earnestly I tell you this, anyone who believes in me has already has eternal life. You see, God has set into place a way of determining those who are following him and those who are not. It's called faith. In Hebrews 11:6, we read that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It's one thing to come to church. It's another thing to mine the scripture, to spend hours in prayer until you get the answer. That's the earnest seeking of your Heavenly Father, your God, your Savior, your Sustainer. Is he? 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9 reassures us that though you have not seen him, if you've seen God, please put your hand up. I'm not saying you can't, but I haven't seen God. If you've seen Jesus, have you seen Jesus? I can tell you I've seen the result of him. I haven't seen him. So 1 Peter 8, 9 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe him. And listen, you are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. How many are filled with that? Good, there's a couple. And this is my point. Until we experience Christ and the newness of life that he provides, that we celebrate, that we remember, we're going to kind of just mill through life. There's so much more. If Jesus was standing here, he'd say, don't look at the physical. Look at the spiritual. What is your focus? A kingdom focus is what I'm selling for the last 5 weeks. You can listen to the messages. They're recorded. They're linear. They make sense. It could be a book. But we don't remember week to week. If you make it out of the parking lot, I'm doing a happy dance. If you remember what the message was, that's our nature. We need to be purposing to seek Him earnestly. I have to go back to the inexpressible glorious joy because I got sidetracked. You are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Look, we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. But the humanness dies, the spirit lives forever. We need to own this, church. Faith in Jesus as the bread of life needs to be understood. Back in John chapter 6, verses 49 and 50, Jesus compares and contrasts himself to the bread or the manna that Israel had eaten in the time of Moses. You'll see that when you take the time to read the whole chapter. We read in verses 49 and 50, "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die." That's the bread I want to eat. Oops. So we see that similarly to manna, Jesus came down out of heaven, yes? And like manna, it provides life. But unlike manna, the life that Jesus gives lasts for eternity, forever and ever. Amen. In John 6, 51 through 56, Jesus stresses the point of the symbolism, further saying, "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. Anyone eating this bread shall live forever. This bread is my flesh given to redeem humanity." Then the Jews began arguing with each other about what he meant. "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" they asked. So Jesus said it again. Pay attention. This is twice now. "With all the earnestness I possess, I tell you this. Unless you eat the flesh of the Messiah and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who does eat my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Everyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood is in me, and I in them." Too much to comprehend, isn't it? Jesus in me? Jesus in you? This is what we celebrate, class. To avoid being misunderstood, Jesus makes it clear that he's been speaking metaphorically. In John 6:63, this is what he says. "Only the Holy Spirit gives eternal life. Those born only once, with physical birth, that's you and me right now today, will never receive this gift." That's the truth. He goes on to say, "But I have told you how to get the spiritual life." How? Eat the bread, drink the blood. Eat the blood. Be in it every day. It equips you to get through whatever this world throws your way. Those who couldn't grasp this way of thinking, they were offended by his speech, the talk about eating the flesh and drinking the blood. It seems they were set on thinking about the physical. God, give us free food. Give me the money to do. Give me the. That's all they wanted. They forgot about the spiritual. We need to renew our mind and think in a different way. What is your focus as you go about the day? They were only concerned about getting another physical meal. Jesus is using the realm of the physical to teach the things of the spiritual. We have to do the work to understand it. It doesn't come naturally. And really, you can't live on someone else's message. I encourage you to read it for yourself. Those who couldn't take the step from the physical world to the spiritual world turned their backs on Jesus and they walked away. People are doing that to this day. Last week we talked about taking the step from the darkness to the light. Remember, class? How quickly we forget. Fortunately, the messages are recorded. Here again, there is an action that we must take. Look, you're invited to come to the table that's been prepared for you 2,000 years ago. And I'm going to suggest don't leave it on the table for another day. Renew your thinking. As believers of Jesus Christ, we're invited to come to this table. When we look at the Last Supper, Jesus has the same sermon, the same information that goes hand in hand with John 6 when we read in 1 Corinthians 11:26. This is what we read. When the disciples, the followers of Christ, that's you and me, when the disciples came together to eat, to break the bread, and drink the cup, we're told they proclaimed the Lord's death until He came, until He comes. Matthew 26:26-28, we find that Jesus said, "The bread broken on this table is His body. And the cup they drink is a new covenant in His blood." It's a new promise for the forgiveness of sins. Their act of eating and drinking, as well as ours, was and is to be a declaration of our faith in Christ. When we come to the table, people should see you celebrating. Just as physical food gives life while we're on earth, Christ's sacrifice on the cross gives way to a heavenly life. That's the renewing my focus, kingdom focus, not what's going on in the world. Think past that. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. God never intended for His followers to live a life avoiding things. Oh, we can't do that. We can't do this. We can't do that. Instead, we're to live a holy life, motivated from the desire to please God. Is that your desire in everything you do? When you drive down the road, "Forgive me, Lord." Just say. In the process of seeking to please Him in all that we do, there are things we should avoid so that we can be holy. It's important to know and understand God's Word. Why? Because it worked for Jesus. And we should follow His example, yes? What did Jesus do when Satan offered Him bread in His wilderness experience? What did Jesus say? He did. "It is written, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the Word of God." The handbook. They're paying attention. I got a smile. That's awesome. This account is recorded in Matthew 4. What Lori just quoted, what I just shared, "Man shall not live by bread alone." But Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy 8:3. The Old Testament proclaimed in the New Testament. If you don't understand the New Testament, it's because you didn't read the Old Testament. What He's saying is the bread is God's Word. And that is what sustains us. If you don't eat,
you starve. And there's plenty of people on the planet walking around anorexic because they don't pick up their Bible and read it. Don't let that happen. Pick it up. Again, if you don't have a Bible, I'll put one in your hand today.
In John 1, Jesus is called the Word of God, who came to the earth and was made flesh. I don't get it. The Word of God is also the bread of life. When we take time to read John 6, you'll see three times that Jesus made this abundantly clear. He is the bread of life. Take the time to read 71 verses today. It'll be enlightening. God has provided us the book of Hebrews, the unknown author, who I believe is God himself. We don't know who wrote it. I know God wrote it. He helps us see the way God uses physical things on earth to help us understand the spiritual things. But we need to take the action, do the work, renew our thinking. Hebrews 8:5 says that some tangible things are a copy, a shadow of what is in heaven. The whole of the chapter explains how the old covenant focuses on physical rites and ceremonies. And there are people today celebrating worldwide communion getting all caught up in the ceremonies. And they're not enjoying the freedom and remembering. What is his loving command? Do this as often as you eat and drink in remembrance of me, of him. These physical rites and ceremonies are replaced with a new covenant of God's law. And you know where it's written? In your heart. In your heart. In the core of your being. Are you owning this information, church? Or do you just listen to it and say, okay, pick it up and put it into practice? The author tells us the consecrated bread, which is the bread of presence, was a physical representation of a spiritual concept, specifically the actual presence of God with us today. He's right here. My best friend, my go-to guy, when everything's down, you know who I go to? Jesus. And if I don't, boy, do I have a hard day. There's my witness. She'll tell you. 31 years. She knows me. Hebrews 9, 1 and 2 says the first covenant had regulations for worship, and it was also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. In its first room were the lampstand and on the table, and the table with its consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. The physical tent of meeting has been replaced with a spiritual tent of meeting. Where do you suppose that is? Yeah, there's three people on the planet going, yeah, it's right here, don't you get it? How does it get in there? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Have you acknowledged Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Everybody says yes. Then you have the Holy Spirit's power living in you. When Jesus said we must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood in John 6:53, Jesus was speaking in a word picture. The biblical word, parable. Matthew 5:6 tells us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the righteousness, for they will be filled. If you're not hungering and thirsting, if you're not seeking earnestly, you're starving. You're undernourished. And God wants to fill us, to redirect our thinking,
I'm pretty sure you understand that we need physical food and drink to survive on this planet, right? But Jesus wants us to know there's so much more, and it's important. It's spiritual. Look, you need to turn your mind upside down. You're not human. You're spiritual. And until you redirect your focus, it's not going to make sense. I'm leading you to good food. God has provided us. We don't have to be malnutritioned. We can be full to the overflow. God has so much more for us that we leave on the table. And today I want you to take time to inspect. We're going to celebrate communion with a whole wide world. How cool is that? The table is set before us. It's been prepared. All are welcome. You don't have to attend the church regularly. You don't have to be a member of the church. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are welcome at this table. We're going to pass out the elements. As we share in the communion, we're reminded of the cleansing power that Jesus provides for us. We receive a clear conscience. We hear Jesus say, "My child, begin again." As we take time to remember, let's think about who it was that saved us. And remember that it's not our performance that makes us right. It's His. It is finished. He conquered sin. And we live in that power. And I love the smiling faces out there that agree. In coming to the Lord's table, we're obeying the Lord's loving command. Do this in remembrance of me. While you hold that piece of bread, consider if there's anything in your life that needs to be addressed. Take time to ask God through the Holy Spirit to reveal anything that's in your life that needs to be addressed. The Bible is clear: if we eat in an unworthy manner, we eat and drink blessings and curses. This is why some of us are sick. Some have died. This is not something to be taken lightly. This is God's command. After we all eat the bread together, we'll do the same with the cup. Take time to celebrate what Jesus has accomplished. This should be a joyful time. All are welcome. You know, the bread and the cup are symbols. They're not turning into something. You're not getting some supernatural power. You're remembering what Christ has accomplished. Use this time effectively. So the Bible tells us that on the night Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread. After He had blessed it, He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Dennis, would you pray for the bread?
Father, thank you for the opportunity to share this morning with the body of Christ around the world. Thank you for giving of yourself, your body, that was broken for us so that we might find our way to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
the body of Christ, given for you. Take, eat in remembrance of him. In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is what we're going to do right now as we take the cup. I hope that you have taken advantage of the time with the bread to confess. Now take time with the cup to celebrate what Christ has done for you. May we never forget. The blood of Christ shed for you. Take, drink in remembrance of him. Let's pray. God, I am so grateful that as followers of Christ, we have access to this table at any time. And that in it we carry the newness of life. Thank you that we carry in our hearts the riches of eternal goodness. And I pray that we would reflect you well wherever we go, lighting up the darkness with your truth, speaking words of hope where there's despair, and revealing your unconditional love in all that we do. Send us now into the world, walking in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. May we live to be all that you have created us to be, as we're absent one from another. I ask these things in the matchless power of Jesus' name. Amen.